Department of the Funny People, and it's time for Laugh Till Your Knob Falls Off on KEX. We're on the air weeknights from now till midnight with music and lots of comedy. You ready? Let's have some fun.
There's a whole game that goes on between the teacher and the student. First of all, the student does not do the homework. I never did homework. I carried my books home, threw them down in a chair. That was the end of my homework. My mother didn't care. She said, "Did you do your homework?"
"Yes, ma'am."
"When?"
"Coming home."
Mothers don't want to be bothered with that extra stuff, man. They just say, "Good, he did it. Now, that's all." You know, they don't go to study the paper or nothing like that. Come back to school the next day. Now, you know you haven't done your homework. However, the savior is Ronald. Ronald always did his homework. And we waited for Ronald.
"Come here, Ronald."
"No, no, not
come over here. What's the answer to him?"
And everybody'd write down the answers. 40 guys in the class. There were 22 papers came back with Ronald's name on them. I was the only smart one. I used to even give myself a couple of wrong answers from Ronald's thing. Now, because I am not doing my homework, and my teachers keep saying to me, "You know, you're a very bright boy. You're very bright, William, and it's a shame what you're doing. You're not doing your homework, and a boy like you should be doing homework. You should be proud of yourself, should be proud of your neighborhood, should be proud of your mother and father. Have them proud of you. Man with your intelligence doing nothing. Therefore, we're going to put you in the slow class." So, man, that was really a put-down, though, man. But I kind of dug it, because the slow class, I've noticed, all them dudes in the slow class have a lot of fun. They don't ever do no work, man. All the cats in the slow class, you see their class always going by your room when you're working. "Hey, we're going to ball game. Hey, we're going to Europe. Hey." You know, kids in slow class, they're always treating them like they're going to die next year or something. Or some strange disease, man. You got to show them all these things. "Oh, we're going to wait them all. Hey." So I got in that class. All the dudes in my neighborhood are in that class, man. So it's like homecoming. Oh, Cos is here. And the beautiful thing about being in slow class is that they give you a slow teacher. So, and then slow class singing. Hoo doo 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 doo. "Good night, my darling." And the teacher's going, "I got the high part. I got the high part." But the trick of the whole thing, which I did not enjoy, was the fact that they gave me a note.
"You take this note and you give it to your father, and he will come into school tomorrow, and we will explain to him why you're in slow class."
"Well, my father don't particularly care."
"You will bring your father in."
I'm telling you right now, my father don't want to come into school. As a matter of fact, he'll probably beat you up.
"Young man, bring your father in."
"No, my father will come in here and kill you, man. Because, see, he don't dare coming out of work. And Dad always, that's one thing he always said, don't let me have to come out of work. And he'll come in here and beat all this whole school up. He'll kill everybody in this school."
"Bring your father in."
So now, man, I go home. Now, I can't find... See, the one thing about when you're a kid, you can't find anybody old enough to play your father. If they had a thing like Rent a Father, you know, some wino that you could get straightened up.
"Yes, I'm his father, and it's wonderful that he's going to be in slow class, And I beg your pardon. I'm happy that he's in slow class, and I'll see you tomorrow. Where do I sign?" "Where's 16 cents for the drink you promised me, son?" You know,
Rent a Father Wino Agency, if they had one.
So now I come home, and I got to tell my dad that he's got to come. Now, all parents do know one thing. Although they're not that concerned with school, they do know that when they have to come to school, something's wrong. So I give my father the note. I want you to come to school tomorrow. Come here. Now, what the hell is this for? Right away, I know I'm in trouble, man. My father don't start out with, "My goodness, are you having a problem, son?" What is this? Read that to me. Dear parent, I know that. Get to the part about where I have to come in to see some Mr. Freiberg or somebody. What the hell is all this about?
I don't know what it's about, because see, what happened was I was in class reading, you know? And so the teacher called me a name.
Did what?
He called me a name. And he called you one too. He said that and that goes for your father too.
What did you say?
I told him that you was a good man, that you worked hard to put food in my mouth and clothes on my back. And the man told me, he says, that you wasn't nothing, because you worked down at the city dump.
What time am I supposed to be there?
Well, he said if you would write a note and just say that you ain't coming, that he would accept that.
No, I'm coming to school tomorrow.
No, Dad, don't come to school tomorrow. Just give me a note.
I'll rip his arm off. Call my son a name. I'll kill him right now. Who would me, because I work on the down the city dump? I'll kill the man for that.
Man, I'm trying to talk to you, Dad. The man just said write a note. That's all you have to do.
I'm not writing no note. Where's your mother?
She's standing right there. Do you hear what that man called me? I haven't heard him say anything, Bill.
Well, he did. You heard Junior. The man called Junior a name. And called me a name, too. I'll kill the man tomorrow. Now my father gets dressed, man. I'm in trouble. I don't know how I'm going to get out. Jesus keep me by the cross. Oh, my soul shall follow. I'm making out a will, and Fat Albert can have my wagon. And old Weird Harold can have both of my skates that I promised to Rudy, but I ain't talking to him. Now Dad comes to school, man, and I know the ceiling's gonna fall. But I got one last hope. The teacher being there, maybe my dad won't hurt me.
Is this the man here?
Yes, this is my dear.
Now let me ask you a second, Mr. Cosby. Your son is a very bright boy. But William will not work.
Say what?
William will not work. He will not work. We've asked him to do homework. He does not do homework. He has a chance to become perhaps a doctor or a lawyer or something very fine. We realize that you work very hard to give this boy clothes and food on his back and things of that nature. And yet, Mr.
I tell you, that all is in you. Shut up and I'll rip your mouth off. Now, you told me this man called me a name. This is a nice man.
But then I didn't know.
Don't call me a liar. Now, get up.
And the teacher, Mr. Cosby, you're killing your son.
That's right. I made him. I'll take him out of here.
I'm going to take him home. You probably won't have him in class tomorrow.
Bill Cosby on KEX. Oh, my. Did you have a father like that? I did not. My father never hit me. He just told me one thing when I started to learn how to drive. He says, if you ever go to jail, he said, you'll never get out. He said, I'll never come get you. That was enough. Two fellows from Mars. Next. With Orson Bean. See him all the time on The Tonight Show. Did you know he used to do stand-up comedy? Funny, funny fellow. You'll listen. Kind of obtuse humor, but you'll enjoy it. Before you go post-holiday furniture and carpet sale shopping, why don't you stop by your county extension office for a free consumer portfolio?
the consumer portfolios provided by the county extension office, in addition to, you know, all the things that you need to know, also include information on where to make a complaint. So get your consumer portfolio today, friends, at your county extension office. At your county, wherever that is. All right, you ready for Two Fella from Mars? Here we go. Orson Bean.
Yeah, I would like to do a science fiction drama that takes place on the planet Mars. Two men from Mars, regular fellas, haven't seen each other in quite a while, many moons, and they meet one day over by one of the canals on the wrong side. Picture yourselves on the red planet. You pardon the expression, and we find two Martians engaged in the conversation.
Hey, how are you? All right. You still living over there?
Nah, we moved from there.
Oh, yeah. How come you moved from there?
Trouble with the landlady. A horrible woman. My kid had a birthday, so I wanted to get him something special for his birthday. A birthday present. You know what I mean? So I went over to the pet store, and at the pet store, I picked up the kid for his birthday. I bought the kid there at the pet store. A pet goo-goo. What the hell? It was a young goo-goo. Unbeknownst to me, the landlady had a rule, no goo-goos in the house. What harm was only a young goo-goo. The kid was crying. We couldn't leave the goo-goo inside. So, out in the backyard, I built a little goo-goo house. Put him out there. Let him run around. Lots of sun. Sure, what the hell, you know what I mean? So, the trouble with the landlady started. The landlady's kid, a horrible kid, fat kid, he went out in the backyard. So, the goo-goo's out there. So, the goo-goo's running around and playing. And the landlady's kid, I told him, don't fool around. But he's teasing the goo-goo. So the goo-goo ate the landlady's kid. Well, the landlady came downstairs, sore as hell. And it was a whole argument. So one word led to another, and rather than have any trouble, we moved. Oh, yeah. So what else is new? How's the goo-goo? Well, we moved away. We took the goo-goo with us, and he the goo-goo, he ate my kid. I'll never buy another one of them. The wife was sore as hell. I told her we can have another kid. She says, what, to feed that crummy goo-goo?
I like that one. Pardon me, I get to laugh too, you know, it's our show, okay? 25 after 11 o'clock. Laugh till your knob falls off on Entertainment Radio 1190, KEX, 50,000 watts, 24 hours a day, wherever you are. How you doing? You want your 11? One more, well, we call it a Shaggy Dog Story with Orson Bean.
And then we'll play you Wes Harrison after the weather. KEX learned that the Seattle Regional Office of the Federal Trade Commission is offering a consumer guide on the funeral, cemetery, and grave marker industries. It's called The Price of Death, and it's designed to make people aware of the alternatives in making death arrangements and warn in wide variations in prices for the services and merchandise often sold to bereaved consumers. For a copy of the handbook, write FTC. 2840 is the room number. They're in the Federal Building. The address of that is 915 2nd Avenue in Seattle. 915 2nd Avenue, Seattle, Washington. Zip code up there is 98174.
1190 KEX.
The ants and the elephants were playing football. An ant had the ball, a regulation one-pounder, was streaking down the field. The elephants were in hot pursuit. But the blocking was magnificent. The ant with the ball reaches the five-yard line, the four, the three, is about to make a touchdown when one of the elephants, the fastest man on the team, caught up to the ant with the ball, steps on him, and squashes him to death. A low murmur of disapproval spread through the crowd. The umpire ran out onto the field, went over to the offending pachyderm, and said, "What'd you step on him for?" The elephant said, "I was only trying to trip him."
Some nights, those are funnier than other nights. Tonight, those are awfully funny. That's Orson Bean on KEX, Little Shaggy Dog Story. Oh, it's 11:30. Mercy, only a half hour more. Well, friends, listen, we're going to play Wes Harrison, the character with a duck on who makes the sound effects. The best part is the very last part, so I want you to stay through that. It's 20 minutes long, and people have been hounding me for it, and I will play it, doggone it, by request. Several of them.
Well, I do all these sounds vocally. I use no props, no tape recorders, phonographs, tricks, or gimmicks of any kind. This microphone I have in my hand is not a special mic, although it looks like a gun. It's a standard stock Shure Brothers mic. Everybody thinks there's a tape recorder inside of it. We can't get it in there yet, but the Japs are working on it. Now, tonight I'd like to tell you a wild and woolly story complete with all the vocal sounds. This story I call The Big Duck Hunt. This is all about duck hunters, guys who like to hunt ducks. Now, I know you like to hunt ducks. You know, you women do, too. So in order to hunt ducks, you've got to get out to the duck blind. And in order to get to the duck blind, you must employ some means of transportation. Let's take our duck hunters one at a time and see their problems and tribulations of getting out to the duck blind. Now, the first one is going to gallop down to the duck blind on the back of a horse. So he runs out there, puts his foot in the stirrup, and throws himself over into the saddle. Well, then he gets up and goes back around and tries again. Once he's on the back of the horse, he takes his hand and he reaches back and slaps the horse on the rear. And then he starts the horse out with just a simple walk. Now we bring the horse up to a trot. Let's bring the horse up to a canter. Now let's bring the horse up to a gallop. Across a highway, a hard top surface like concrete. and now he crosses a bridge, a little sway back. Then he's going first. He can do it. Here he goes. Takes care of the first duck hunter. Now our second duck hunter is going to take a jet. He's got more money than brains. He bought himself a jet, and this is a single engine job because I've only got one tongue. That's something to think about. So he goes out there and crawls into this thing, whirls over the turbine. It's either that or drop dead. Well, he got it started, thank God. He taxis out to the end of the runway and he blasts off. Then he passes overhead and cuts in his afterburner as he heads for the duck blind. That takes care of the second duck hunter because, you see, he was only 2 miles from the duck blind and he overshot. Now we come to the next duck hunter. This one's going to take the train. This is the big locomotive of yesteryear, the one with the steam whistle. Remember the whistle when you could hear it on a cold night and it gave you a lonesome feeling? Remember that sound? Well, it's gone now. Well, it is. It's gone. It's been replaced. Progress has taken over. We have the diesel electric. Can you imagine anything more lonesome sounding on a cold night when you're alone than a diesel electric? Isn't that a gasser? There's the train in the station, and our duck hunter is on board. Here are the nostalgic sounds of this old giant locomotive which has passed into history.
Be a big one. More steam.
It's a long train.
Yeah.
I got one to go.
Now, there's a train that's zooming right along. Our duck hunter's on board. He decides to go back to the bar, a dining car. And we hear him as he goes from car to car. You know, when you open the door and slam it and pass into the next car. Oh, here's the sound. Remember this one? This is the one that used to put you to sleep, the clickety-clicks of the wheels. And he opens the door and goes, oh, you like that one, huh? I like that. That was a sound. I'll never forget that when I was in the Navy 8 years, 7 on trains. How could I ever forget it? Now we open the door. Then he reaches the smoking platform, and we listen to the wheels as they click along there. They cross the switch track, and then the little bell goes by. That takes care of that duck hunter. You see, he caught the wrong train. Now we go to the next one. This is where the fun starts. This one just bought himself a new car. He is proud of this. It's a bright red car. He parked it in front of the house so the neighbors could see it. This builds up the hate. There's the car. Oh, they do this. Oh, they do. They wave to the neighbors, you know, to get their attention. So he starts out of the house, going out to the car. Here he comes, walking across the living room floor, going outside. Opens the front door. Oh, you like that? You want to do it again? I'll do it again. Well, if you like it that much, I'll do it again. And... overdid it. The doorknob came off. I'll kick it over there. It'll fall down those wooden stairs and hit the concrete. I'll kick it. Then he steps out on the front porch, going out to the car. Porch on an empty beer can. Climbs out from underneath the beer can, the front porch, and then he goes on out to the car. Now, this is a beautiful car. This is a magnificent piece of machinery. They send men to college for 4 years to study how to become mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, stress engineers, and all kinds of engineers. This is the result, the end result. He opens the door and climbs in. checks the electric windows. You know, you push the little button and those windows go up and down electrically, occasionally. Well, at this point, the neighbors are waving frantically. He's not doing so. Well, those things happen like that. Then he gets the keys out and he tries the engine. Now, this is a magnificent piece of machinery. This is precision. This is better than a wristwatch. It's better than Cape Canaveral. No countdown. Takes the keys and tries the engine. 16-cylinder engine, 32 carburetors. Spares. Tries the engine. Well, he's got a damn good battery. What this thing needs is a good, swift kick. Oh, I've got to tell you this. You know the most nauseating sound that was ever created by man? There is one. This is the most sound that was ever generated. It's a cold morning. You go out to your car. You climb into the car, get the keys out. Here is that unforgettable sound, or unforgivable sound. But here's... Here is the worst part, and you know that automotive industry, as old as it is, haven't been able to figure this one out yet. Here is the worst part. That stinking thing is trying to start, and it's so cold that it keeps hitting on a different cylinder. And what do? I know what you do. You're pushing on the floorboard with both feet and pulling on the steering wheel. I almost pulled the steering wheel out of my car. Here's that sound. Oh, this is the morning you should have stayed in bed. Said, this car needs a good swift kick. Now, that's the way my grandfather used to get the old car started. He'd get out and take a piece of chalk, mark an X in the middle of the bumper, and take his foot and bust it one. He'd get back into that thing and he'd take off down the road. Well, he got it started anyhow. But that's what it needs. Now, in these new cars, you don't do this. You get out there and mark an X anywhere on that car, and you kick it, and you've had it. Do you know what takes place when you do that? Well, they're making them thin. They are. You know these big $20,000 jobs they brag about? No, they put the big V and the diamonds on the hood. You know, it's great. Looks great. You can walk out there and take your hands and push the whole side of the car in. Have you ever done that? And some of them are so thin, you can't get the... You got it in. And even... and even those little bitty sports cars like that little Volkswagen. You know what a Volkswagen is? That's a pregnant roller skate. Well, this duck hunter's got to get this stinking thing started. We'll try it again. God, that had me a little worried. Now, he takes off down the road. This is a hot rod duck hunter. Four speeds forward, stick shift. Here he goes. Hang on. The last shift, I double clutched it. Here he comes. Watch this. This is the fast car. Radar buddies. Well, they'll never catch him. Here he comes again. He's cut in all of his afterburners, or carburetors. Now watch this. Boy, he's moving. Was him. When you go at speeds like that, you're not sure of yourself. You know, 700 miles an hour is dangerous. You can't see the road. Matter of fact, you don't even know you're on a road. Up ahead was a big sign. The sign says, stop, make a right-hand turn, dangerous curve. Really, there was a cliff there. Here he comes. Takes care of that duck hunter. Now we got one to go. This next one's got it made. All he has to do is step off of the pier into the boat. A very simple task. So he steps off the pier. Too simple, he missed. He climbs into the boat, he unties the boat, pushes it away from the pier. He has no worries because he's got an outboard motor. And all you got to do is pull that rope, the engine will start and take you out to the duck blind because that guarantee says it will. He pulls the rope. He reads the guarantee, it says pull a rope again. Turns a page, says pull a rope again. Turns to the last page and it says tear up the guarantee. What this thing needs is a good, hard pull. And the way you do that is put one foot in the bottom of the boat and one on the transom. Grab a hold of that rope and pull. Put some elbow grease behind it. There goes the rope. Now, to get it started, you take off your shirt, $20 shirt, rip it up, make a rope. Wrap that around the flywheel and pull the shirt tail. Time for the hammer. It'll start now. He pulls that shirt tail. When they do start, they sound like they're going straight up. Well, he takes off across the lake to the duck blind like all sane, courteous, responsible boatmen do. On the way out, he takes two fishermen and one water skier. Now, he eases the boat into the duck blind. He's ready to hunt ducks. He breaks over that. It breaks open that double-barrel shotgun, loads it. He's ready. Turns on his miniature radar. Sonar in the boat for the fish in case the ducks don't show up. He's ready. Here comes the first duck. Picks up the shotgun, takes a bead on the duck. He's about ready to pull the trigger. Somebody on the right opens up with a machine gun. You think that's frustrating? Somebody on the other side opens up with a 40-millimeter cannon. They throw the whole works at that duck. And so ends the story of the big duck hunt. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Care Center, this Judy.
Judy, this is Roy Mercer. I was wondering if Dr. Sipes was there to where I could talk to him.
Hold on just a minute. Let me see if I can get a hold of him.
Hello?
This is Dr. Sipes?
Yes?
Doctor, my name is Roy Mercer. You've been treating my wife, Sharon Jean, for some of them my brain headaches.
Yes?
Now, listen, I was wondering, is that a common problem in women, the migraines?
Migraine headaches?
Yes, or where she's seeing them spots, and then she'd get kind of dizzy, and then she'd herp.
I've taken care of a number of women.
Yes, sir. Well, you've taken care of her. You treated her two or three times, and them headaches is better. But we've got a problem. Ever since she's been having them treatments, she ain't got no sex drive.
Okay, what's your wife's name?
Sharon Jean. And she's been down there, and we used to go at it pretty often, pretty regular, and it's been about 2 weeks, 6 days, and 47 minutes right now. And I don't know what to do about it. And I'm getting a little PO'd and perturbed about it, because I figured it's them treatments she's giving her for them migraines, because she's fine for that.
Uh-huh.
I've done everything I know how to do, doctor. I put on, soft music, and met her at the door and saran wrap, and I ain't got so much as a bead of sweat out of her. Well, it ain't funny. In fact, I'm working up a little frustration right here myself.
And what is your name once again?
Roy D. Mercer.
Roy Mercer.
Yes, sir. Is there anything you can do for that?
Yeah.
How much is that going to cost me?
Let me get your wife's name once again.
It's Sharon Jean. Listen, I tell you what, I'm working on a pretty good mad right now. Since I've been a little frustrated, a little tension built up, you can understand.
Okay.
And I was thinking, if you just couldn't explain this or couldn't do something about it, I might just have to come down there and whoop your ass.
Okay, can you hold just a moment?
No, sir, I can't hold no more. I'm done held on for two weeks, 6 days, and 47 minutes. I ain't holding on no more. Are you going to be there for a while?
Yes.
About 30 minutes or so? Well, that's how long it'd take me to get on there.
Okay.
You going to be there? How big a boy are you?
Hold just a moment.
Because I come down there and do a little adjustment on your spine. Because we used to go at it like drunk monkeys, doctor. Are you there?
I'm still here.
And I guarantee you, I ain't got a raise out of her.
Okay.
And if you can't explain it, they just boil down to an ass whooping.
Okay, well, I don't have a patient named Sharon Jean.
Bull butter. She's been down there about three or four times. How big a boy are you?
Fair size.
Well, it ought to be a pretty good tussle. How about I just drag you out there in that waiting room, whip your ass right there in front of the other patient, tell him it ain't no good to get treatments here because you lose your sex drive.
You got the wrong number.
You ever had your ass whooped over something like this?
I've not had a conversation like this before.
Is that right? Well, what else has been going on down there is what I want to know. I'll tell you what, since she ain't been so cooperative, I might just have to get me a little on the side, and you might be having to take responsibility for that. I got about three gals I used to run around with I met down at the pool hall at Vicky, Cindy, and Judy down there.
Who the hell is that?
You sound real scared, Doctor.
Dr. Sykes, this is Phil and Brandon.
Roy D. Mercer from here in Tulsa.
your staff put us up to this.
This is a whoopogram courtesy of Vicky, Cindy, and Judy. They wanted us to get you real bad.
Oh, I'll tell you what. There's going to be a payback.
You're having a little my brain yourself, aren't you?
I'm sitting here trying to figure out just how legit and how illegit this whole conversation
is. Yeah, believe me, it's all illegit. Roy wouldn't come down and whoop your ass anyway because it'd take him 12 visits.
That's our only chiropractor.
Hello.
Is this Harold Glenn Fisher?
Yeah, that's him.
Is he the one that owns that property down there about a mile and a half west of Cushing off a highway?
Yes, sir, that's me.
Listen, I've been trying to find you. My name is Roy Mercer.
Yeah?
I was over there, it's around late morning there a couple of months ago, and y'all had a big fire over there.
Right.
Listen, there's an ember from that fire got in the bed of my pickup truck and done some damage.
Yeah?
And I need you to take care of it.
Need me to take care of it?
Yes, sir.
You're all full of shit, old man. I didn't start the fire.
Listen.
Huh?
I didn't start it neither. I was just going down the highway
Huh? That's tough.
Listen, I got about $250 worth of bills. I got a bed liner at rent.
I can't help out against bit. That fire wasn't mine. It burned up a bunch of hay and a bunch of pasture and a bunch of fence for me.
It's your damn property that's on fire.
It don't make a big rat's ass. It didn't start on this property.
Well, it don't make a rat's ass
well,
to me.
Well, it does, too. Sure does.
Listen, I had some damage done to my truck.
I don't give a big rat's ass. You're getting talking to the wrong man, bud.
How about you just get yourself an ass whooping then?
Well, that might happen.
Well, I'll come down. I know where you live.
Yeah, well, come on down.
It ain't nothing me to whoop a man's ass.
Is that right? I think you're full of shit.
I'm an old boy that just run by your property just out of the clear blue sky over there and got my damn pickup truck run.
Yeah, I'll tell you who started the fire, that old boy, that welder right east of me.
I don't know nothing about no welder. It's your property that's on fire, though.
I'll tell you what. You kiss my god's ass.
Well, all right, then.
You have to spend holidays with this guy, Ron?
I'm going to be in trouble, I can tell right now.
He ain't never going to pass a giblet gravy to you.
Hello?
Need to speak with Harold Glenn Fisher.
Who is this?
This is Mr. Mercer. I was just talking to him. He he hung up on me.
Oh, well. I think I agree with him. We did not start that fire. That old boy down in that trailer, it's that welder, is the one that started it.
Well, listen.
We've got our insurance company working with, trying to get him to pay for it.
Listen, it ruined my bird dog, too. My bird dog was back in the bed of my pickup.
Yeah, you know what?
He has.
You son of a bitch, up your.
Oh. Rob, maybe you better call him this time.
Jesus.
I don't believe I'd eat his deviled eggs the next time he brung them, Rob.
Next family picnic.
Uh-uh.
You better say something.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, Glenn.
Hey.
Rob Hurt.
Yeah.
Did you get a little call from some old redneck named Roy Mercer a while ago?
Yeah, right.
You damn near started talking in tongues there for a while.
It took me a while to pick up on that.
Listen, I got a bird dog that's breathed in so much smoke, he's farting smoke rings right now.
Is that right?
Listen,
he ain't blowing any more god smoke than you are.
Is this Tony?
Yes.
Tony, listen, I was just wondering if I need to make an appointment. I got a 1977 Pacer I need to get tuned up down there. I need to have an appointment to bring it in.
Uh-huh.
Well, when can you get to her?
Well, is it a Pacer?
Yes, sir.
Rambler, you mean, American Motors?
It's AMC, yeah.
AMC?
Uh-huh.
Let me see. How about Tuesday morning?
This next Tuesday?
Yeah.
All right. Now, y'all still honoring that coupon I got, right? 20-point tune-up, free tune-up.
Free tune-up?
Yes, sir.
On what?
On my car, on my Pacer. I got a coupon.
No, I don't have it. I don't think I got any of those.
Well, by God, I got her yesterday. I was out there at the Walmart and come in and it was a windshield wiper on my car.
No. You must be taking another A&M. That must be in Tulsa.
A&M Auto here says right here, Sepulpa.
Well, I'd have to see that, sir.
Says talk to Tony.
Okay, you bring that down. I got to see it because Marie might have done something. She didn't tell me.
Free tune-up, and it says a free auto detailing, too.
No, I don't do detail.
Well, by God, it's printed right here in black and white.
Okay, bring it down and let me see it.
Are you going to honor it if I bring it down?
Yeah, I'll honor it if you bring it down.
You'll honor it?
Yeah.
Because I got it says a free 20-point tune-up and a detailing, and I figured that was a hell of a deal.
Okay.
What kind of work do y'all do on the detailing? Vacuuming and waxing?
We don't even do any of that, so I don't see where you got that from.
Oh, my God! Sounds like somebody's trying to pull some sign of a flim-flam on
I guess so.
Well, I think it's you that's done it. It says your name here, A&M.
Yeah.
Well, if I bring her down there, y'all are going to service it and do it for free.
Without looking at it, I can't say anything.
Well, how'd you like your ass whooped then?
Oh, come on over.
Well, I could be there here in about half an hour.
Okay.
By God.
I got work to do, so come on over.
How big a boy are you?
I'm only 5'4", but I take care of myself.
Well, I guarantee you, that wouldn't be even a light snack.
Hey, listen, I got work to do. Can you come over and bring me that over and let me see what it looks like?
Well, I guarantee you I'd come over and whoop your ass if you ain't going to honor it. I got this thing effect. Hello? Hello?
Lord.
Is this Tony?
Yeah.
Listen, it says down here, C. Don Hill for our 2-for-1 special. Do you know him?
Oh, yeah, I know him real good.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he the type of feller that might want to pull a joke on somebody?
You never know.
Well.
Who the f*** is this anyway?
Tony. This is Bill and Brent, Roy D. Mercer.
Hey, yes. I'm going to do a f***ing job on that Corvette.
It's a Pacer.
It'll be running like a Pacer when I get through with it. Golly. I'll fix your f***ing mess.
Golly, Bob.
You tightwad mother. You're not even good enough to be a You're a f***ing please.
Golly, Bob. I guarantee you. I think you're hitting on all cylinders.
Whoa! I think you took your head off.
No, I'm working on the Ford. That ought to tell you something.
Oh, what a kick in the pants.
Oh, my Lord.
Holy cow.
That's Tony.
This is Tony Heineman. I used to work in that local America Bank building.
Yeah.
Did you used to work over there? Do you drive a Jeep?
No, not anymore.
Did you have a gold Jeep at that time?
Yeah.
Well, by golly, I'll tell you, I'm glad they finally get in touch with you. You owe me some money.
Oh, well, you got it.
Well, I'll tell you what, you done it about 6, 7, 8, 9 months ago. Somebody driving a gold Jeep in a local America Bank parking lot backed up into my car.
Did they?
Yeah. And I done about $400 worth of damage to the right rear quarter panel.
And what is your name?
My name is Roy D. Mercer. I was working building maintenance back there at that local America Bank building about 7, 8 months ago, and I'm back working a contract workout for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your number, Roy?
My phone number?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't ain't gonna need my phone number. I'm coming by there today and get my $400 out of you. What you think is funny?
Well, yeah, I think it's hysterical, Roy.
Well, how do you like to have your ass whooped?
Well, I don't think I'd like that either.
Well, somebody'd say they backed into my car and done $400-some-odd worth of damage back there, this right rear quarter panel.
That was about 7 months ago, huh, Ray?
Roy,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, about 7, 8 months ago.
Okay.
I've been hell tracking you all down.
I can appreciate you being very angry.
Well, I guarantee you. You know, I done paid for it a long time ago.
But I really don't see how that could have been me doing that.
Well, you drive a gold Jeep?
Well, not anymore.
Well, did you at the time?
Well, yeah, but...
See, did you work at that building? Were you there?
I had worked at that building.
Well, then it was you that had to done it.
Well, Ray, Roy...
That's Roy.
I know, Roy. Roy,
But I need to get... Well, let me look here at my bill. It's $427.
Well, I don't know how you could,
I did body work. I had to have paint work done on it. And some of that chrome stripping down the side that got torn off.
Well, Roy...
You got insurance?
Well, wait a minute here, Roy.
Yeah?
You know, if I damaged your car, I'll be happy to pay for it, but...
Well, you done it.
I'd have to find out how long it's been.
Well, I got no idea how long it's been. I know when that body work is done. I'm coming down there today and get my $427 out of you. I'm whooping your ass. I don't think it's too damn funny.
Well, I'd hate for you to have to waste a trip over here, Roy, because, A, I haven't got the money, and B...
You ain't got the money?
Yeah.
Well... You got $427 worth of ass I can whoop?
There's probably that much there.
How'd I get up there?
Well, Roy, if I said I was going to come whip your ass, do you think you'd give me instructions on how to get there?
I don't... You're going to be laughing out the other side of your face, Mr. Heineman, when I get through with you, because I got a car that done been tore up. I done had it fixed. My insurance rates went up on it, and I ain't even trying to charge you for that.
Well, I'm sorry about that, Roy.
Well, you ought to be sorry about it. You backed into my car and didn't leave no note.
Well, I really think you've mistaken me for someone. You must have, because I haven't worked there for over 15 months, and I'm trying to think of when I sold the car.
Well, I don't doubt you sold it. You took all the evidence away. What you done. How many other folks did y'all back up into and you didn't leave a note?
Well, Roy, I don't make it a habit of doing that.
Well, sound like you done it. I'm going to come over and whoop your Heineman.
Well, I'd appreciate it if you didn't, but...
Well, it's a last resort, don't it? You know? You going to be there all afternoon?
Well, I'll be here for a while.
I'll find out how the bike I'll get up there.
Okay.
Well, what do you look like?
Roy.
It ain't funny.
Well...
And I don't take checks, neither.
Well, I ain't got the money here, Roy.
Well, all right, then. Well, you just get ready, because it's going to be an all-afternoon ass-whooping.
Well, hang on.
Hang on?
I'll give you a number.
Your number is going to be up, buddy boy, is what it's going to be when I come down there to whoop your ass.
Hang on.
So?
Here, give this guy a call.
Give who a call?
Well, it's my attorney.
I don't know. I'm going to whoop his ass, too.
Well, good. Whip his ass first.
No, I'm coming down there and whooping your ass.
Well, Roy.
I tell you what, I'm coming down there to whoop your ass and I'll get $427. Just what is it going to be?
Well, I guess you're going to have to come whip my ass.
Well, all right, then.
Well, okay.
You going to be there all day?
I think he's pretty upset.
That's Tony.
Did you used to work over there in that local America Bank building?
Yeah.
Do you remember some old boy up there named Brayton Fell?
I'm sorry, who?
Brayton Fell. Well,
who is this?
It's Brayton Fell.
Oh, you silly geek. You guys, I was just getting ready to go find my flak jacket. I've got an old helmet somewhere, and I figured I was going to have to go put that stuff on.